Lord, we praise you and thank you so much for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that really at the end of the day, we don't have to figure this out. You can figure it out. And Lord, all you ask of us is to be faithful, to be obedient, and to trust. And I pray that, Lord, for not only for this project when Pastor comes Tuesday, but for everyday life. I pray that we can be faithful to you and turn to you and just seek your grace and your mercy in all that we do. And our hearts go out to those who are hurting right now. I pray for Todd as he waits. They had to cancel his surgery. I pray for his upcoming surgery. I pray for Sue. Sue has been, Lord, as you know, fighting the migraines and other things, Lord. Probably go with that. I pray for total healing, Lord. We praise you that she's doing better today. But we just pray that tomorrow be a great day for her. But we pray for your healing hand. There we pray for Mary Lee, Lord, Chris's mom who is dying, Lord. But Lord, we're excited because we've been talking about heaven, Lord. We've been talking about what happens when we die, Lord. And so though we grieve for the family, Lord, and for Mary Lee, what she's going through, but we also know, and I know that she loves you, Jesus, that you are preparing her, Lord. So we just pray that your will be done in her life. We pray that you will be done with Chris and the family. Give them the strength that they need. And that your Holy Spirit would just well up inside of them and fill them with your grace and your mercy and your love. We thank you and we give you praise. And so now, Lord, what do I do? I'm going to trust you, Lord, that the words that I speak, Lord, that be filled with your Holy Spirit, your truths will come out, Lord, not for my glory, but for yours. That use me now, Lord, as your instrument. I pray and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the thoughts that I had as I'm frantically thinking about what I'm going to preach on was obedience. And I think I just came out of the book of Judges, and I tell you, that is a very sobering book because it's laced with disobedience on the part of the Israelites. Every turn of the way is disobedience. It was really a dark moment in the life of Israel. And it was so bad, their disobedience, that they had really forgotten God. God was not in the equation with the Israelites at that particular time. They didn't have godly leaders. And basically, and this is the scripture that I have that I want to share with you. It's really I can find it here, getting into Judges. It's the last chapter, Judges 21, and it's verses 24 and 25. At that time, the Israelites left that place and went home to their tribes and clans, each his own inheritance. Well, what happened was that the Benjaminites rebelled, as we know. And what happened was that they separated themselves from the other tribes. They weren't going to engage in battle, help the other tribes fight their enemies. I'm just beginning a vague description. So eventually, the other tribes went against the tribe of Benjamin, and they slaughtered the men. It was a very difficult time in the life of Israel. And so the wives were left without their husbands. So it was just a mess. And then listen to verse 25. In those days, Israel had no king. And this is what caught my heart. Everyone did as they saw fit. During that time, the judges, the people of Israel, experienced trouble because everyone became his own authority. We're going to worship those other gods. They just forgot God. And one disaster after another took place. Thank you. How about another amen? You know, so there's a lesson here for us. You know, their moral standards slipped. Their strength, everything was gone. And they didn't know what to do. Of course, then you go into Judges. Then what's after Judges? Ruth. That's the good news. Then you have the bad news come. And then you have the good news when Ruth comes on the scene. Excuse me. In her obedience. In fact, Jan and I were talking about this morning. We're talking about the return and how wonderful that was. Sometimes, I know it's hard to believe, but I can be a skeptic. You know, because when God, you know, I'm not saying I'm right or wrong, but I'm just saying for some time I tell people and Christians to tap on the brakes. Because I think sometimes we get ahead of God. And because we want something so bad, we want revival in this country, and it could happen. I praise God, hope we have a massive revival. We have over 300 million people in the United States. You get 100 people or 100,000 people that are rally, and some people call that a revival. Well, maybe it's revival for that 100,000 people. We're talking about 330 million people in our United States. And also we're talking about, if you include the Christians, so-called Christians in there, you have your evangelical Christians, you have your Pentecostal Christians, and both are in the Word and believe in the Word. Hopefully, they're trying to trust in the Word, but that's only a percentage of so-called Christians in the United States. Then you have the liberal Christians. I've shared with you this time and time again. I was raised in the liberal church. I was trained in a liberal seminary. I know what they think. And they don't think at all like the way you think. And they're very convicted in their way. So you can't go in there and you can't say, well, I'm just going to convict them and they're going to change. Uh-uh, I tried that for 15 years. That's why I have this twitch, Jeanette, occasionally. I used to leave their meetings with pounding headaches. Because I thought they're so off the Word. They don't see the Word as you do. They don't see the Word. They don't see miracles in the Bible. For them are just little stories that are put in there to explain the larger point, the larger truth. So that's what I was dealing with. I'm not saying poor me, but if you're understanding what's out there. So when you talk about the Christian community, you got to include all groups. Because that's what history does. And for years and for years and for years, you've had, through the centuries, you've had one group, the more conservative Christians, who believe in the Word of God, believe in the tenets of the faith, believe that these stories actually happen, are truth. They try to partner with the other side that did not see it their way. Did not see it theologically their way. You know what happens when that takes place? When issues come up, they split because they can't agree. They can't even agree to disagree. So they say, that's it, I'm gone, and because they want their point of view. That's also what's going on in our country today among Christians. That's why we need the Bible-believing Christian to believe in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is inspired. We need those Christians to step up and be a voice to the people. Step up and proclaim we can no longer be disobedient like the judges. We can no longer tolerate immoral behavior like judges. We can't do that. We got to step up. We have to be a voice. We should not have to wait for a Ruth. Going to 1 Samuel, Saul. Excuse me. We know his story. God anointed him king. He was weak. He was selfish, self-centered, everything you can think of, jealousy, that was Saul. The Bible is filled with story after story of disobedience. Then along comes a remnant of obedience, and they come back, and Israel becomes strong again. Then that leadership leaves. Then weak leadership comes in of disobedience, and they start to crumble. We need not just strong pastors in the Word, but the people. It's about the people. It's about us. It's about our obedience to our Lord. It's about praising Jesus. It's about praising Him when good things happen. We see what's going to happen, hopefully, in our church. We know what God is in it. It's not because John smiled. It's not because Jan had a word. It's not because Kathy's praying 24 hours a day. I mean, that's part of it. I'm not saying. But I'm saying is it's all about Jesus. We need to always remember that. It's all about Jesus. Most of us here operate in the gifts. Is that fair to say? Most of us do. I asked someone, I think it was Chris is not here right now. I asked someone hypothetically. I said, if you had a choice between walking in the gifts of the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit, what would you choose? It's kind of not fair, is it? I mean, you know, but if you had to choose, I choose the fruit of the Spirit because that's where Jesus is. Jesus was always about the fruits, the character. Because when you have the character and then you come to know the Lord and you have the Lord in you, you mesh those two together, that's when you have obedience. That's when you have what David had, what Joshua had. And all the heroes that we can think of in the Bible, they say, golly, what are their qualities of obedience? We can do all this. Joshua had the obedience that we should have. No goal. That would have been Joshua. We can do this. Why can't God do this? And Caleb the same way. You know, those are the people that we need to model and discard those that the whiners, the complainers, the doubters or whatever, because they would just bring you down. They will bring you down. We need to be up here. God wants us up here. He doesn't want us down here. He wants us up here with Him. He wants us to partner with Him in everyday life. And it starts in everyday life, doesn't it? It starts with our daily devotionals. It starts with being on our knees. It starts with being corrected by God. It's humbling ourselves when we need to be humbled. And once we're sincere, when He picks us up, then we should be strong in Him. Strong in who? Strong in Him. I look at all of you here, and you have different gifts. God bless you. Have different gifts. That was wonderful. I always said, Becca sings like a bird. And when she sings, it ministers to me. It really does. Others too, but it really does. But I'm not jealous of her gift. You know, as good as she is in singing, I would be just the opposite. And praise God, because God's called her to equip and build the church up with the gift He's given her. You know, I don't understand. I'm just picking on people. I don't want to do that because, hey, you didn't mention me. I don't mean that. I think of Dewey. I've worked with Dewey a long time. And many a time we've been in that foyer talking about ministry, talking about the vision and cleaning up this church. Dewey really is right in stride with me with this. And he's actually, as was part of that confirmation they have about we need to clean up the church and fix it up. That's a wonderful gift that God's given you. I think of Katie. Oh, she's awake. She knows I'm kidding about that. Don't you know that, Katie? I'm kidding you. I know. Okay, stretch it. I thought you were saying, oh, Lord, help this man. He's going absolutely nowhere with this. Thank you very much. I'm really confident now. I really am. But I've heard her talk about and pray about those babies that are being aborted. God has placed something in her heart that we'll have that. But he's placed an extra passion, I think, in her heart to be a voice for these little ones that don't have a voice. That's a gift. That's what God has given you. So I say, sister, go for it. Go for it. God has given you that. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, that is confirmation that we all need. You know, it is confirmation. Yes.
What I was going to do is I had the opportunity to come, we had the window down. I did just talk to a gentleman after he was dropping somebody off. But if somebody had the window down, I was going to give them $100 cash to go to Waterloo to get an offer them. And I wanted them to see the baby. That was the one thing I had.
Amen. You know, a thought also is when you step out in faith, in obedience, I'm going to be obedient, I'm going to step out in faith. I'm not saying you, but I'm just saying, I tell people, if you do that, and say you fall on your face, don't be discouraged. You are stepping out in faith. God will honor that. So it doesn't mean that if somebody steps out in faith that all of a sudden it's going to be a home run. It just means that's a step. If we're faithful in the little things, what does God say? He'd be faithful in the larger things as well. And this is for everyday life. This just isn't, it's for everyday life, living everyday life, what God has called us to do every day. If we do that, God will bless us abundantly. He will do that. Now I'm going to flip over because this, God had given me another scripture. It comes from 1 Samuel 16, and here Samuel anoints David. We know what happened with Saul. We all know the story. Saul was all in it for himself. You know, he did everything basically for himself and his own ego. And sometimes used God as an excuse. Like when, remember when Saul back in that battle before the Philistines, he went in and the priest wasn't there. So he went in, and what did he do? Offer the sacrifice, absolutely. And what did Samuel say? Wrong. Why didn't you wait for the priest? You're not called to do that. Well, and he gave the excuse, well, you know, we're in a hurry. We're trying to get the people together. My men, I think they're going to scatter. Everything was about him, him, him. He made an excuse. God doesn't want our excuses. He doesn't. He doesn't want our excuse. Oh, I can't do this. No, I'm too tired. No, I've done that before. Maybe it's needed. Sometimes we need to kick ourselves in the pants and get in the game and think, well, let's see. Susan will do it. You know, she'll do it. So I'm just going to lay in the weeds until somebody says, well, there's no volunteers. Well, Susan will do it. You young people here, God bless you, because you're learning and you're growing in your faith and what it means. That is awesome. How many people can you say your age are doing what you're doing? Not to compare, think you're better than they are, but God has called you to a higher standard. And he's teaching you in that within that standard. And we adults, we older people, we need to model for them. We can't be hypocrites. We can't be one thing, but we're really another. Because when that happens, these young people, they're smart. They see right through that hypocrisy. They do. They want the real deal. And our prayer is for you guys to have the real deal of Jesus as you grow in your faith. Amen? Amen. All right. Becca, isn't this great? Verse 1, Samuel anoints David. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? We know why he was rejected. Then Samuel continues, fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. Who was the son? David, son of Jesse. That's what God does. He fills the void with righteousness. That's a great word, is righteousness. God wants us to be righteous. Justice and righteousness are the foundation of his throne. Love and faithfulness goes before him, says the word of God. Those are great words, because I have to ask myself, am I being righteous? Am I seeking God's righteousness in my life? If I'm sinning and say I pick on one of you, not your face, I do it the coward's way, behind your back, then am I being righteous? No. Sometimes God has to be hard on us, like it's hard on King David. When David sinned, you know, he knew about it. Or he's reminded by Nathan, the prophet. So do we need to be closing here pretty soon? Now see, John said, that's a hint. Let's close this guy down. Let's put the music on. He's trained. Then he'll know, be done. You know, sometimes we need to be, I hear people say, well, the pastor's redundant, or the board is redundant. Paul affirmed redundance, because sometimes we have short memories or we forget. It goes in one ear, but we don't plug the hand with the other, and it goes right out. Sometimes we need to be reminded over and over and over again about being obedient, seeking God's face, being on our knees in the Word. That's where we need to be, and to be vulnerable. To be vulnerable. Being in this church for me and Chloe has been a blast. In so many different ways, it has. But I also know that we're not there yet where God wants us to be. And I think I was sharing with Susan last week. We're talking about my sinuses and everything. So Susan, give me some tips about that. My sinuses have been the worst in my whole life. You know? I feel like I could take a pin or something to poke under my eyes and just let them drain out. And in my humanness, sometimes I just wanted to quit. Saying, I'm just not up to this. And it's like God said, you fool. Who do you think's given you the strength? Do you think this is coming from you? You know, are you going to be a Saul? See what I'm saying? Sometimes we do because God wants us to do it. And sometimes we do it and we don't feel good, we don't feel like it, but we do it because we've been called to do it. Been called to do it. So, since we're all here, and Luke said, man, this guy is just dragging this on. Please, remember, the Lord that you committed your life to never changes. He's called you for a purpose. When you feel sick, you feel dry in your faith, and man, that is happening in spades in churches across our land. This pandemic has also crippled churches everywhere. 200-member churches are down to 25 a service. And that's just one that I know of, and there's more out there. Because I believe Satan's in there. He's trying to discourage people. He's trying to just move us away from God's will, His purposes. I made a commitment years ago to serve the Lord. I was scared. Because I didn't really want to go through the process. Nobody screamed more than I did about going through the process of being ordained. With three little kids, we weren't heroes. We just literally, and if someone would come to us and say, oh, you're so strong, I want to say, stop it. We're not strong. We're weak. It's only because we're seeking to be obedient to Jesus that we did this. And it was a marvelous thing. But you know something, Jeanette? Jeanette said, really? There's something that I'm always reminded of back in those days because it reminds me of my roots as a believer in Christ. It reminds me that if God got us through what we went through, then boy, everything is possible. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the way God works? He told the great leaders back in the day, we got 30,000 men. Nah, that's too many. Let's make it 20. Let's make it 10. How about 300? Now God can handle it. So God is the God of the impossible. Let's leave with that. God is the God of the impossible. God can do all things through what? Through Christ. Everything is possible for one who believes. Do you believe that in your own life? Do you believe? It starts at home. You cannot grow in your faith, I don't believe, totally riding on somebody else's coattails. You can't do that. It's got to start with you, in your heart. Let it start for you now, in your heart. what God wants you to do, then watch him work in faith. Watch him work. This is not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus and what he wants for this church. Maybe it's not going the way you want it to go. Then all I can say to you is, too bad. Suck it up and follow your Lord. Follow your King. The Bible I read says, in this world you have trouble. Did not Jesus say that? But take heart, for I've overcome the world. We will have struggles. They'll continue. The more we seek Jesus, they will probably increase in your own private lives as well. When you seek him, you're going to have problems. Satan's going to throw all kinds of things in your way. But in Jesus Christ, all things are possible. In Jesus Christ, we will prevail. And this, I am really closing, my friends, because I see you're drifting off. I'm going to close with Becca, with your grandma. I've been talking about heaven. I know friends say, well, you know, we know about heaven, whatever. But, you know, it is so important that we have a better sense of understanding of our eternal destination. That's the purpose of this. So that that can motivate us to give it all, to place in our hearts a sense of urgency while we're on our journey. And we're on a journey. And, you know, all you young people, you're not thinking about death. Most of us here aren't thinking about death, and we don't want to think about it. But it comes to every one of us in our family. Becca's family's facing that right now. It's going to happen. Those who have been around a long time, we know what that means. We know when the body shuts down. We know that. But it just amazes me, as a pastor, I've seen this hundreds of times. I can be with a family, and the loved one is shutting down. And just like that, they breathe their last. But that's not all. At that moment, the angels will take that Christian and just guide them to Jesus. So we grieve for you and your family, but we also rejoice with you, because before too long, your grandma is going to be in paradise. That's heaven. And one day, we're going to be there too. Some of us sooner than others. Lord, we praise you and thank you, Lord, so much for who you are. And Lord, I just thank you for your love. And I thank you, Jesus, for your people here at Family Life Church. And I thank you for their commitment to obedience to you. What you have for them, Lord. I pray for any of my brothers and sisters who are struggling right now, maybe struggling and their faith direction, where you want them to go, where you want them to be. I pray, anoint them with your presence, would be upon them, Lord, and give them direction, the assurance of knowing that you are present with them. And Lord, I pray that you might just speak to the hearts, that they'll humble themselves. That they need something stronger than themselves. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us in the midst of our imperfections, doubts, always calling us back to you. When that happens, like David or Joshua or Moses, Samuel, that you build us up and make us stronger in the faith. So we thank you, Lord, for that. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Now go serve.